Our first scripture lesson is found in the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 21 through 31. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is God who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when God blows upon them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. The one who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name, because God is great in strength, mighty in power. Not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. God does not faint or grow weary. God's understanding is unsearchable. God gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from Mark. We are reading from the first chapter of Mark, as we have been for a number of weeks, verses 29 through 39. Let us listen for God's word. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." And he answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us, thanks be to God. We are living in a time when we have discovered that language and words are extremely important. As a matter of fact, we have discovered that if someone tells a lie long enough, it can become a lived reality. But the converse is also true. If we tell the truth long enough, it also becomes a lived reality. Words are important. People seeking spiritual comfort and spiritual enlightenment have, for as long as human beings have prayed, used words to pray. We use mantras. Now, you may think, oh, mantras, that's for those Eastern religions. No, we have our own mantras in our Western religions. We use the same words in the same context over and over again. We have our creeds, we have our prayers, we have our hymns. These are all mantras. They're very familiar words that we repeat time and again. And the more we repeat them, the more these words actually become our lived reality. As a matter of fact, I wonder what Jesus' prayers were like. When it says numerous times in the Gospels, and we heard it in today's reading, he goes to a deserted place to pray. I would suspect that what he prays has a lot to do with what he eventually does, because what he is praying becomes his lived reality. And in this story from Mark this morning, we get a glimpse of what this is. And it is proclaiming the message and healing people. Proclaiming the message. What is the message? Well, according to Mark, earlier in this first chapter, the message is this: the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, about the kingdom of God being the vision of Isaiah coming out of the vision of the Jubilee. A world of equity, a world of fairness, a world of kindness and compassion. What is repentance? Repentance is simply changing our perspective and living into this reality of the kingdom. And what is the good news? The good news is it's here, now. It is at hand, available to us. But unfortunately, the Christian church took a turn very soon in its history and started focusing not so much on Jesus' message and Jesus' lived reality, and they began to focus more on belief. They began to focus on believing the right things about Jesus rather than following Jesus. And somewhere along the line, the church evolved into a place we go rather than the community we are. We are experiencing that tension today. Right now, this very minute, as we worship today, many of us are struggling with the fact that we are not in a particular place at a particular time. And because we're not, it doesn't really seem like real worship to us. We just had a Supreme Court ruling about the state of California, and the Supreme Court ruled that we have the right to come together in a place at a particular time, and rightly so. But is that really what Jesus is calling us to be? Is Jesus calling us to religiosity, or is Jesus calling us to a way of life that transforms and brings in this kingdom of God? You know, there are all these ideas of what it means to be a Christian in the world today. And they all get convoluted with so many different things, with politics, with nationalism, with denominationalism. I was out walking in my neighborhood just the other day, and I saw something that was very disturbing. I saw three flags flying in a front yard. The three flags were a tattered American flag, a campaign flag for one of the former presidential candidates, and a Christian flag, all flying right there together, convoluted into this understanding of church as related to nationalism. I would go so far as to say having a Christian flag in the first place is rather absurd. Christians are known by the way we live. Isn't that what Jesus teaches us? But we have turned it into going to church. And many people just go to church to have their own beliefs and actions affirmed, rather than challenged and to really listen to the gospel and follow the gospel. And I think this is a big question for us today. Now, please don't misconstrue what I'm saying. Community is very much a part of the church. But we have come to this place where we are struggling with how do we be church without going to church. We've been doing this for nearly a year now, and we are still struggling with it. This COVID pandemic has brought a very teachable moment to us as the church, to us as humanity. How do we be who we are created to be, rather than simply practicing religious beliefs and rituals? What does it mean to share the gospel? What is the gospel? What is salvation? If we were to ask ourselves and to ask each other today a simple question, what is it in your life right now that you would like to have more than anything? What would bring salvation to you? We would all have many answers. I would suggest a few. Family, friends, community. Because we have done without these for nearly a year now. For many people, it would be financial viability because people are out of work. For others, it would be healing because there are many who are sick. And healing in other ways for those of us who aren't sick. It might be the vaccine. It might be that, please, everyone wear your mask and practice social responsibility. You see, our ideas of being saved are different depending on our context. And Jesus comes into the communities he visits in Galilee and elsewhere in Palestine. And he meets people where they are and he heals them. He casts out demons. He casts out their fear. And asks them to turn and look towards serving and giving to one another. We may be in the midst now of another great reformation in the church. We don't know how all of this is going to play out. But my guess is, from reading scriptures, from looking at the history of our faith, that the Spirit is moving in all of this and moving us toward something new, something different, but at the same time, something very familiar that we have heard over and over and over again. Isaiah says, have you not heard? Have you not been listening? That God loves us and we are called to love God. God in and through everything and everybody. We are called to love each other as ourselves. That's our mantra. That's our mantra. Love God and love one another as we love ourselves. Over and over and over again. And Isaiah asks us the question, are we listening? Haven't we heard it yet? Maybe we have a chance to practice this in ways that we have never thought of. Amen. Many of us are weary. I know you are. I know that you're weary of having to stay at home. You're weary of having to wear masks when you do go outside. You're weary of not being able to get together with family and friends. You're weary of not being able to come to this sanctuary and worship together. I know that. I get it. I'm weary too. We are all weary. But we need to heed the words of Isaiah. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to us from the beginning? Have we not understood from the foundations of the earth? God gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let's hold that promise, my friends. Hold the promise of the gospel, the good news. And love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Amen.